everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, engineering and producing. I'm not doing the engineering and producing, but Tom is. Tom Fairbanks, thank goodness. Tom on the other side of the glass. Tom, I hate to see that 40-plus mile-an-hour winds coming Sunday. I shared with the listeners, I think it was last Friday, that I've got this two baby hummingbirds. I don't know why the hummingbirds pick the most precarious positions, you know, to build their little nest. I mean, they're great nest builders, but these two little, maybe it's a little girl, maybe a little boy, but they're flapping their wings. They look like they're ready to go. They may just get booted out of the nest with that kind of wind.
Doing a remake of Gone with the Wind?
Yeah, Gone with the Wind, that's for sure. So, I hate that when we get that really, really big winds, because they are actually saying there could be some dust visibility issues as well Sunday. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, which is part of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in town. We have now 5 radio stations. Our latest acquisition, the very popular station, The Drive, now part of our family of stations. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we are off and running on Friday, the first Friday in May, May 3rd, 2024. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the program live at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, all of our podcasts. We have pretty much every show we have done since the first week of January at buckmastershow.com. We are in our 14th year with the radio program. And then I came to town from the Bay Area in January of 1988. So that gives me 36 years here in radio and TV. When we do our telephone interviews, and today I encourage folks to call in on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The live line number is 520-790-2040. If you have any questions about water, this would be the opportunity to do so and speak with John Kamik, because John is the director of Tucson Water. Before I introduce John, though, I do want to do a couple of media shout-outs. On Friday, I like to recognize a couple of our big media supporters, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his team. They have a My logo prominently displayed there. Just click on My logo and it takes you to my website. Same is the case with Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Our friend Dan Shear and his team do such a great job in that area. John Kamik is with us. And John, I'm probably one of the few people that usually pronounce your name correct. Isn't that right?
Absolutely correct, Bill.
John is a longtime water leader in Arizona. His career spans over 40 years with an emphasis on water resource management, utility leadership, addressing water quality challenges for the Tucson area. Throughout his career and during his tenure at Marana, he was at Marana Water for a few years, 4 or 5 years, right?
Seven, actually, 2012 to 2019.
Okay, there you go, 7 years. Director Kamik has focused on sustainable water supply issues. Tucson Water serves more than 740,000 customers in the Tucson Basin and has implemented one of the most successful and notable water conservation programs in the United States. And John, first of all, it's great to see you again.
Great to see you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And I, as I say, it's a successful and notable water conservation program in this country, but I think I can actually expand that, because there's notice worldwide of what Tucson Water has done in the sustainability area, as evidenced by your recent trip over to Europe. You were over in the UK and in London, and you were asked to address the World Global Water Conference?
Yeah, it was the Global Water Summit. So it meets about every time this year, mostly in a European city.
Yeah.
This year it was in London, and I got to share with a lot of colleagues around the world. The focus this year was the Tucson Water One Water 2100 plan.
Wow.
And how we do long range water resource planning.
Wow. And so you were able to tell the Tucson story to this international group of colleagues. What would you say kind of the bottom line message, John, was there at the conference to you, that you delivered?
Yeah, the message that I delivered about Tucson is something, you know, we're all proud of being Tucsonans, and that we have been doing long-range water planning for decades now, probably more than 50 years since we started purchasing ag fields in Avra Valley and retiring farms for groundwater supplies up through our CAP and then the advent of the reclaimed water system. And then, like you mentioned, our conservation programming is out there as a national leader. So being able to share that story with a lot of communities worldwide that are now just looking at the challenges of water resource management primarily because of population changes, they're looking at Tucson and how we've been so successful over these last several decades.
So 50 years ago, Tucson, maybe 50, even more than 50, leaders here were thinking, you know, water, this, we've got to take care of our water. And at that point, we were on a groundwater situation, using groundwater. How did all of that come about, John?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's part of the story that we like to tell, that one of the first major decisions by the mayor and council of Tucson, like you mentioned, in the late 60s and early 70s, was to purchase farm fields. And at the time, those farm fields are mostly out in Avra Valley. And if you can think about the size of Tucson in the early 70s, making decisions like that to purchase farms, retire those farms for future groundwater rights was actually one of the biggest first steps for Tucson and being resilient in the future. So 22,000 acres of farmland,
wow,
the city retired in the early 70s and have retained as groundwater supplies. And that is kind of our insurance blanket that we have out west here to the city. We own millions of acre feet of water rights associated with those farms that have been retired all these years.
So how does that work then? You've got this as kind of an insurance plan. Where does that fit into the picture, that land?
Well, the land is still out there. It's still managed and owned by Tucson Water, you know, with the city of Tucson. And what we have to explain that what we've done with the state of Arizona is ensure that there's no development will ever occur on that land that would utilize water. Mm-hmm. So that land today looks like native Sonoran desert, but 50 years ago, it would have been an open bladed farm field.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so it's a protection of watershed. It's really no different than what New York City has done over the last 150 years, where they purchased valleys in upstate New York that
That's
are
right.
completely protected, mm-hmm. and then the water supply comes to New York City. This is the way Tucson did it in many cases, is purchasing that farmland and retiring the farms, and then we have the ownership of the groundwater supply that's in that area.
John Kamik is with us. He is the director of Tucson Water. And again, if folks have any questions about water, it's 790-2040. So, John, give us the overview right now on where we are as we begin to get in now to our hot season. What's the big picture for the water situation here?
The big picture for the water situation is it's strong, you know, like I like the report. As detailed in the One Water 2100 plan, which can be found on the Tucson Water website, we talk about all the water supplies that we have access to in this community now and pay attention to, one being our historic groundwater supplies, two being our Colorado River imported supplies that we use on a daily basis, and then we also have the reclaimed water system. So that's using our highly treated wastewater effluent for another use, making that drop of water work more than one time for Tucson residents at schools and parks and golf courses throughout the region. And then more importantly, the newest water that we're dealing with in Tucson and utilizing to the advantage of the community is stormwater and rainwater. So if our Storm to Shade program, which kicked off in 2019, now you're seeing neighborhood investments by the city of Tucson with that program, where we're collecting storm and rainwater, which will be happening here hopefully soon with the monsoon season.
Hopefully.
And providing those green spaces in those neighborhoods where green space has been lacking for many years. And we're building a lot of projects to bring some of those areas back.
You referred to the Tucson 2100 program. Perhaps you could articulate what that is all about, John Kamik.
Yes, that was the The One Water 2100 plan is the City of Tucson's current long-range plan. It was adopted by Mayor and Council in November of 2023. It was about a four-year project at Tucson Water to do long-range water planning. And this is now the plan moving forward. So the community had a lot of input in the years 2018 up until the adoption of the plan. And it focuses on the four water supplies that we have control over, the ones I just mentioned, as well as demand management strategies, continuing to give those conservation tools to our community and advancing future conservation tools to help Tucson continue to be one of the most water conservation communities in the country.
The changeover from groundwater happened a couple of decades ago. We were really depleting we were the largest city in the United States, I believe, John, at that point, that was dependent on groundwater. How is our groundwater supply in the Tucson Basin right now?
Yeah, and that's a great story, Bill, and that's part of the Tucson story when it comes to water. So the groundwater systems were under tremendous stress in most of the 20th century, not necessarily from people moving here, but there was still a lot of agriculture happening right here in the urban, what is now the urban Tucson area, was surrounded by farms. Once those farms converted over to urban use, the stress on the groundwater system was still present, and that's why it was so important to have the Central Arizona Project approved by Congress in 1968. The canal eventually built to reach southern Arizona by the early 1990s, and then to bring in that Colorado River supply to augment the stresses off the groundwater system. So now we are pretty much a Colorado River supplied community, mm-hmm. Which we know with the drought on the regional system can be tenuous, but we take that Colorado River water and we turn it into groundwater. We bank it in the aquifers west of the city and south of the city, and then recover that water and bring it and move it throughout the town. So from a natural perspective, the groundwater table elevation in the Tucson Basin for the last 20 years has been going back up.
Good.
So yeah, there's been a rebound here. And then where we store the water in Avra Valley, the water table and the groundwater conditions out there because of all the banked Colorado River water, not only by Tucson, but the other surrounding communities are showing a tremendous rebound in Avra Valley as well.
John Kamik is with us, Tucson Water Director. Question came in on Facebook, and folks can always reach me that way, message me. David asks, why isn't the CAP capped with solar panels, which would preserve water from evaporation and provide the energy needed to power that water 300 miles across the desert and 2,000 feet uphill to get to Tucson? I don't know if couldn't answer that about CAP.
Yeah, that's something that's come up, and particularly in the last 10 years. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think the CAP is doing a pilot test and putting some solar panels up in, Pinal County or Southern mm-hmm. Maricopa County mm-hmm. to see if that theory, well, the theory of producing energy is there, mm-hmm. and that's going to be there. But the theory of does it slow down evaporation and save some water supply on that? So CAP is going to be moving forward with that pilot, and hopefully the results are positive, and that could be something to help us save a little more water.
What is the water quality like? Are we getting good water from the Central Arizona Project, John?
Yeah, absolutely. The water that's coming from the Colorado River system is still fairly good. We take it. We really don't do anything to it. We let it infiltrate naturally into the aquifer systems, mm-hmm. and it blends naturally with our groundwater, and that's the water we're serving today.
Mm-hmm. And as far as our water generally, is it, of course, there are certain standards we treat to. Mm-hmm. Are those standards, I'm thinking of the federal standards that you have to meet, but is our water generally is it overly treated? I don't know if that's the word for it or what.
No, one of the benefits of being one of the largest groundwater systems in the country, like you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. is by taking water from the ground, it generally comes without a lot of issues in it. So our quality of our aquifer systems are good in the Tucson Basin as well as the Avra Valley Basin, where majority of the water comes now. So disinfection is pretty much the only treatment mechanism we do for the majority of our system, and that's just adding a chlorine residual to the water. So as it moves through the pipes and goes through the tanks and the reservoirs throughout the community, it remains free of bacteria and viruses.
All right, we'll talk more with John Kamik, Tucson Water Director. If folks have questions, 790-2040. But Mona's Danish Bakery is what we're going to talk about now, John. And I know you're a bakery goods guy.
Absolutely. can't get enough.
Yeah, me too. Mona's is very excited because Tucson Lifestyle Magazine this week named them the best bakery in Tucson. I'd second the motion. Mona's is located at northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. And also now folks can have an alcoholic beverage with their lunch, and they do a great lunch up there. If you'd like a beer, they've got domestic and imported beers. And at breakfast, you can have champagne with your orange juice. I think that's commonly referred to as a mimosa. So Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. It is our Friday Focus interview. John Kamik is here, the director of Tucson Water. We'll take a break right here. More in segment two with Mr. Kamik.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. On Friday, we bring in a newsmaker and we take a deep dive into a particular subject. The subject today is water. John Kamik is the director of Tucson Water, and we've been taking a couple of questions. Just got a email question. We took a question by Facebook, and of course, we can take a question over our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Email question, the differential water rate lawsuit, what's the latest on that?
Yes, Bill. Without going too much into it, because it's still kind of an active thing. But for the time being, for I think since the late last year, we have put a pause on charging that differential rate to those unincorporated Pima County customers. But we'll be looking at our financial plan and looking at the end up results of the lawsuit and studying with mayor and council whether or not to implement a differential rate in the future.
Yeah, and speaking of rates, we do have a rate increase coming up in July, correct?
We do. We about 2 years ago, mayor and council, based on the recommendation of Tucson Water, did a four-year rate plan. So we're pretty much in the middle of this plan. So this July, it'll be about across the board 5.5% increase, as well as for the July following that as well. Yeah.
Now, and the way the water, it depends how much you will pay depending on how much water you use. Generally, is that the case, John?
And that's been the trigger for many years. We have a volumetric charge. It's called an increasing block structure. So if the more water you use, you slip into higher tiers, you get in those higher tiers, and it's more cost per unit of water. We use CCF as the unit that we use here in Tucson. So it's been around that way, I think, for several decades now. We're continuing that way. And what it gives us, that conservation message.
And for commercial users, you're trying to keep an eye on water that is not, we hate to see water, especially in the summertime. I hate to see it water running in the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Commercial. Yeah. And commercial's done a little differently than residential. So they have what is called a winter average. So we look at their months of water use in those winter months of December, January, and February, and that ends up setting what their summer surcharge level will be. So if they're using particularly a large amounts of water in the summertime because of landscape irrigation or other uses, they will pay that surcharge amount above that average.
The Environmental Protection Agency has set the country's first federal limits on the forms of those forever chemicals known as PFAS. This is something Tucson Water, I know we've been talking about it in the media here, it seems like for years, but for many communities now, this would be the first time they will be testing for these forever chemicals.
Exactly. First and foremost, I want to congratulate EPA for getting to this point. This is a fast track on making safe drinking water regulations. They usually take a long time to do. This PFAS has moved more or less a lot more quicker than normal over the last, 5, 6, 7 years to get us to this point where we're having incoming drinking water levels. But for most small utilities around the country or medium-sized utilities, they might be only testing for these compounds, these perfluorinated compounds, for the first time, where Tucson has been ahead of the game, as well as the other southern Arizona communities for many years now.
And for folks that don't know these chemicals, how did they get into the ground here in the southern Arizona?
Well, there's a variety of ways that this happens nationally and internationally, but the most common way is these chemicals are related to what's called the aqueous film-forming foams, also known as AFFF. And those are the foams, if you think about firefighting, if a large airplane fire or large fuel fire where you see the firefighter spraying this white foam on top of the fuel. And what that foam does is separate oxygen from the fuel so the fire goes out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very commonly used in military establishments and airports. And that's where we see the releases of these compounds to the groundwater system here in Tucson is outside of Davis-Monthan, of course, as well as outside of Tucson International and Morris Air National Guard Base.
So a couple of years ago, we started to really shut down some wells that had this. Why don't you give our listeners a little history on that?
Yes. So when Tucson started, we started looking for, we look for things that are not regulated. People don't understand that sometimes. We do the regulatory stuff, but we also want to be ahead of the game. So we look at what chemicals other communities might be seeing either nationally or globally, and we start doing research on that, and we want to make sure that those don't pop up in our water system. So several years ago, we actually discovered perfluorinated compounds in some of our wells along the Santa Cruz River, but they were well below at the time any health advisories from EPA. So it was just a curiosity. I was like, what is this? Why are we seeing this?
Mm-hmm. And this was how long ago that it first got on our radar screen?
About 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you fast forward to 2016 and the EPA changed the health advisory and lowered it significantly. And that's when we realized, oh, okay, let's start sampling all of our wells, not just a couple of them, and see what's going on here. And then by sampling those wells throughout the system, we recognized that there was some high areas throughout the community, and we shut those wells down immediately. So we have over 28 wells have been shut down for a number of years. Again, it's from northwest of Davis-Monthan, northwest of Tucson International, and then along the Santa Cruz River throughout the Tucson community and through the Santa Cruz where it cuts through the town of Marana.
It seems like 28's a lot. Is it, for when we talk about the overall volume of water delivered, it's still very doable, though, right, to keep 28 out of the system?
Yeah, it's absolutely doable. We've been doing it, right?
Yeah.
But we have more than 200 wells that are part of our groundwater recovery system throughout the Tucson Basin and Avra Valley. But losing 28 wells does lower the resiliency that we have. So that's our main concern, is we will like to get those wells back over time with treatment and bring those wells back into our portfolio, because it just gives us an easier way to operate and manage the system, and by having as many wells as possible that we can go to.
And cleaning up this is a huge job, and we've been looking, and I think we've got some federal money coming in.
We have federal money coming in at the Tucson Airport Remediation Project, which is the Superfund site, just northwest of the International Airport. We have state money coming in for that. We're going to be constructing what's called an ion exchange facility to protect the treatment plant that we have there that's been seeing PFAS coming into the water supply at that location. So that'll be built in the next couple of years. And then we have some federal money coming in to the northwest side, where we have a number of wells shut off near the Continental Ranch area that have been shut off for many years now. We're going to be able to bring three of those wells back with about a $33 million treatment plant with more than $10 million of forgivable principal from the federal government to deal with perfluorinated compounds. So it'll end up being, at the end of the day, a cost of a loan of $23 million, because $10 million will be covered by the feds.
You know, going back to a topic we first addressed here on the show with you about the Tucson 2100 plan, our water plan, where does we know it is commonly referred to as toilet to tap. Is that in the future?
I'm gonna take a shout out for the reclaimed water system for Tucson Water, which is one of the largest in the country for what we deliver to. And right now it's going for non-drinking water purposes at those schools, golf courses, parks throughout the community. And just last week, we celebrated our 40th anniversary. So our very first customer was the La Paloma Golf Course in April of 1984. And now this recycled water system is all throughout the community, you know, from the southeast to the Dove Mountain area, the Star Pass, and all points in between. So it's been doing wonders for the community of Tucson. You see a large green space, most likely it's being served by recycled water and not the drinking water supply. But going to your question, you use that term that, you know, that gives shivers to utility directors across the country. Toilet to tap.
Toilet to tap. Yeah. I'm going to be drinking toilet water. Yeah. No.
So we don't have any plans right now to do any large scale, what's called in Arizona, it's called advanced water purification.
Is it being done anywhere in Arizona?
The city of Phoenix is moving forward with a large program to do advanced water purification, as well as the city of Scottsdale. And then there's other communities that are in the planning stages for it. Tucson, we don't have to do the large scale thing anytime soon, but that remains a tool in the toolbox to be able to use that highly purified recycled water from the wastewater side and take it to beyond drinking water quality and reintroduce that, and that's actually a global trend.
Do you think long term we'll ever see in Arizona the desalinization?
I don't know.
There's so many questions that would have to be answered.
You're absolutely right.
And there's money.
It's the questions of money. That's exactly
right. The money.
That desalination thought of going to whether it's Rocky Point or someplace on the Gulf of California and then treating it and bringing it into the state of Arizona.
You'd have to have the Mexican government approval. So far, from what I understand, they haven't been real keen on the idea. So.
It seems like a long-range plan. I don't think I'll see anything in my career on that. But the other thing to consider is there's a lot of water still within the state of Arizona. That's what's called brackish groundwater, where the water has salts in it, but it's not as salty as seawater. Mm-hmm. So the other analysis that we know they're conducting at the state of Arizona is, would it make more sense to clean up brackish aquifers right here within the state and introduce that additional water supply to the Colorado River system or the canal to be used by the communities? And that might be a lot easier to do than trying to do an international agreement to get access to seawater.
All right, John Kamik, the director of Tucson Water. Any final thoughts, John, about water conservation this summer?
Yeah, always. We're heading into the summer, heading out there. Make sure your plants that need water from your system are getting just enough, but not too much. Pray for monsoons. We always like that. We see the change in water consumption.
A lot of people have a tendency to overwater in the summer. They know it's hot, they're hot, and they're thinking the plants are hot too.
Exactly. So pay attention to your plants. And then lastly, here in Tucson, we like to say we have enough water to thrive, but not enough to waste.
There you go.
So keep doing great.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
John Kamik is the director at Tucson Water. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, segment 3. Contributing columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, Terry Bracey, will be joining us on our live line right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to John Kamik for coming in, the director of Tucson Water. Good time of year to bring John in talking about the upcoming hot weather and water conservation. Buckmaster Show into segment 3. We're going to bring in on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Terry Bracey, our contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was appointed to sub-cabinet positions by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's a founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And he is also a contributing columnist to the Arizona Daily Star. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. It's a beautiful May day here in Washington, and so far, no great tragedy. I don't have to listen to the Trump trial if I don't want to, so it's all good.
I want to preview your column that will be appearing in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star. You'll be discussing why April the 20th was such a landmark day, a red-letter day. Why is that, Terry?
Well, Bill, there are really three reasons. It was kind of a triple header for our historians. Number one, you had Speaker Mike Johnson abandoning his mega team and stepping up to bring this relief bill for the Ukraine, Israel, et cetera, onto the House floor. That had been opposed by Trump and his followers. So it was an act of real courage, political courage on the part of Speaker Johnson. And I've not been a great fan of his, but I give him a big kudo on this one. And the second important thing that happened, you got to think about this. For the first time since World War II, since there was a resistance movement of German sympathizers in the United States, the first time that a majority of the Republican representatives in Congress had voted against our national interest. They voted against the defense needs of the country and against the supplies that we were going to send to our allies in the midst of war. And that was number two. But number three was a great thing. Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats came across the aisle for the first time in my memory, and saved the Speaker of the House, a Republican Speaker of the House, and made the whole arrangement pass Congress. So those three things sort of collided, and yet the outcome shows what bipartisanship and compromise can accomplish.
Yeah, and that's been in so very much short supply, bipartisanship, and you really wonder. Of course, that's the way things used to get done in Congress. I wonder if we're going to ever get back to that. I mean, this is a good, I don't know if it's a harbinger of things to come or whether this was just some kind of an anomaly, Terry Bracey.
Hard to know, but if our country is going to survive and our system of government is going to survive, we're going to have to get through this period of rank partisanship, largely caused by Trump, but contributed to also by the extreme left wing of the Democratic Party. We're going to have to get out of this period and move forward. We've had bad periods in the past. I mean, we had a civil war.
Yeah.
And the country has stayed together under very, very difficult circumstances. But yes, you know, I worked in the Congress for 10 years at a time when members of Congress got together on weekends, Republicans and Democrats. Mo Udall used to play golf with John Rhodes on a weekend. The members lived here. They knew each other. But it's all changed, and it's changed, Bill, because of money. And I think that whole reach for celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Used to be pretty much everybody did live in the district. I mean, not that they don't still live in the district, but they would spend a lot more time. But now they go home on weekends and try to raise money, right, Terry Bracey?
It's the eternal chase for money. I mentioned to you the other day, Bill, I think there was this group that met, former members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, at a college here in the East recently, and the subject was, now that you're out of the whole system and so on, looking back, what would you change? And there were a lot of suggestions. Most commonly was gerrymandering. We'd have to get away with gerrymandering. That's terrible. It's skewed the system so that it creates these extreme polarities in the parties. But everyone there, they might have disagreed on some stuff, but every single member, Republican and Democrat, said money. Somehow we've got to change the system where it all matters on how much money you can raise. And, of course, the system feeds on that. I remember one time listening to Dan Rather years ago on television on CBS one night condemning all the money being spent on political campaigns. And yet CBS that year, I think, was the biggest the biggest winner in terms of where money was spent. So there's a lot of hypocrisy involved here. But if we don't get behind to this money thing, we're really in trouble.
How about the power of the so-called backbenchers and their dominance really back in the district?
Well, this goes in waves. And I remember the years when the young guys, men and women, who mostly men then, came in, and they were all, most of them, veterans of World War II, who had led troops in their early 20s and led whole battalions. And they came to Congress, and they were told to sit down and shut up and follow the leaders. And there were guys like Mo Udall and Tom Foley and Tip O'Neill and a few others who didn't like the sound of that. And they rebelled. At that time, just as today, a handful of leaders had all the power. But what they did was they started a revolution, and the revolution was successful in spreading the unique power that a few committee chairmen had among the backbenchers, members of the committees and subcommittees. And that worked for years. But once this decision in the Supreme Court, Citizens United, took all restraints off fundraising, and it made everybody then kind of their own operative to go out and get rich and raise as much as they could, and the whole system kind of broke down.
We're speaking with Terry Bracey, who is a contributing columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and he's also a regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show. We're delighted that he is. Terry, let me ask you, you talked a little bit about Speaker Johnson. Will the Democrats then work to keep him in power against this upcoming challenge that is now awaiting him?
I would guess that they will. This Hakeem Jeffries is a very, very astute and very nationally oriented politician. And I think more than anything, the rational people, which are a majority of the people in Congress, although apparently a minority of the current Republicans, they want things to move along so they could do their jobs that they intended to do. And I think that my guess is that when Ms. Green or whoever does it tries to dethrone the speaker, I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats will step up and save him. It would be a very unusual thing to happen, but I think it will happen.
Terry, I've got about 2 minutes left, and I'd like to get your take, and I think our listeners would be very curious about where we are in this presidential year and presidential race. Of course, still early, I guess, but I'd like to hear, and what's your take?
Well, I find the polls baffling, and the idea that, potentially convicted felon, we'll see, and a much indicted former president who refused to leave office when he was defeated, that he would even be a serious candidate, but he is. But in the end of the day, Bill, what I look at when I used to manage campaigns was I didn't look so much at polls as I looked at recent election results. And what I see across the country is in all the elections which have occurred since the last presidential election, they're all being won by Democrats. All across. Now it may change, but you know, Wisconsin Supreme Court, the new seat in New York. You could go across the country, down to school boards. Democrats have rallied and won these elections. So I think that's pretty encouraging. That's pretty encouraging. And I could actually see an outcome where the radical Republicans are just blown away.
Even if there was, say, a blowout, are we facing fake election like we saw, you know, saying it was all rigged?
The electors, you know?
All
of that business?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I doubt it. A lot of people have been prosecuted. Keep in mind, a lot of people have been prosecuted who played a role in that business at the Capitol. I mean, there've been a lot of lessons learned. And I note that, you know, the Attorney General in Arizona has said no to this and is off prosecuting, and as well she should, these fake electors that showed up from Arizona. I think that Trump will do anything he conceivably can to win this election, but I think it's beyond him. I don't think he's going to win.
All right, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show today.
Happy to always talk to you, Bill.
Thank you very much, Terry. We'll look for your column in the Arizona Daily Star this Sunday. That's Terry Bracey. It's the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition, coming up next. What's going on the weekend? Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat.
Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time to stir it up, baby. That means Weekend Watch when we hear that bump music. Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. When it starts to warm up in Tucson, we can certainly start telling the story about Silver City, where it's going to be 10 degrees cooler at least because of their elevation. I mean, right now, what are they, 75, mid-70s. Lovely day over in a lovely portion of New Mexico in the land of enchantment, the southwest kind of corner of New Mexico. Start your planning to make that trip, about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And if you haven't checked it out, I think you'll be very surprised by all the outdoor activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and just kind of hanging out in historic, a lot of great Victorian architecture, some great places to eat as well that have been there for, like, some of those places over 50 years. Great New Mexican cuisine. Speaking of food and stuff to do, it's time for Weekend Watch, hosted by Dan Gibson. Dan is on our live line. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. What's going on this weekend? Any hints for our listeners?
Just wanted to point out, in my continued service to the fine people of Silver City, if you have a chance to head out there on Wednesday, that's this Wednesday, sneaking up on you, the 8th, Marie Sue is performing at Whiskey Creek Zocalo. Incredible folk artist, $15 in advance. Absolutely worth checking out. I don't think she's played here ever that I can recall. So maybe you got to head out to Silver City to see her. But speaking of Tucson, I would be remiss if I, Dan Gibson, employee of Tucson Medical Center, did not mention the Centurions event happening this Saturday. It is moved from Keto Sports Complex to the Tucson Convention Center. It is Star Wars themed this year. Get it? May the 4th be with you. Tickets are $125, but it does include drink tickets, food, and casino match play, and a portion of the funding. They do a great job at the Centurions. A significant more of the funding goes to TMC for Children. It's a great fundraiser that does great things for Tucson kids. And Smash Mouth is playing this year.
And that's a signature event, right, over there at TMC?
Oh, yeah. It's a really, really incredible fundraiser. The Centurions, great local community members that do a great job raising money for a number of children's charities around Southern Arizona, but they've been partners of TMC for some time. So
very cool.
I would mention it anyway, but I just, you know, they do a great job for us, so I want to throw a little plug in for them.
Understandable. What else is going on?
Well, it's Tucson Mariachi Conference season tonight, 7 p.m. I don't know how there's still tickets for this. They're $40 to $125. But at it's the Espectacular concert, including Mariachi Sol de Mexico de Jose Hernandez, which is one of the most renowned mariachi groups in the country, or in the world, really, Sol de Mexico, and a guest performance by Jonathan Palomar. Tickets are on sale now. The show is, I think, at 7 p.m. tonight. If you have not been to the Mariachi Conference, Espectacular, it is a true Tucson. It's a wonder. It's actually amazing that it's here, and it's an incredible opportunity. There's also the Mariachi Mass happening on Sunday at noon at St. Augustine Cathedral. It's the traditional Catholic Mass, but also including local mariachi and folklorical performers. That is free to the public at noon, and it really brings an incredible diverse swath of the community to that event at St. Augustine.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, so it's all connected. I mean, there's so much happening. Cinco de Mayo, two shows of Roger Klein and the Peacemakers for Cinco de Mayo weekend at Hotel Congress, the 4th with Johnny Zapp on then the Sunday show. Orquesta Mendoza is performing. So that's a pretty big thing happening. So you can celebrate Cinco with Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. You can also go to the Baja Beer Fest tomorrow at Armory Park. That starts at noon. Lots of brewers, local brewers, but also regional and national brewers. It'll be nice and nice mix. It should be a really nice time out there. And the beautiful grassy confines of Armory Park. Tickets for that start at 15 for designated drivers to go up to 75 for a VIP package as well.
Sounds like a terrific weekend with a ton of activities. So, Dan Gibson, want to wish you well. Have a great weekend, my friend.
I will do my very best. Thanks. You too.
Thank you very much. Dan Gibson our host of Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of my company, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks, and, of course, the entire team that makes us feel so welcome here from Bustos Media Tucson. Hope everybody has a great weekend.